Okay, so moving on to discuss staging. Again, these are my disclosures. So why do we talk about staging? Well, we've long done staging to determine extent of disease, inform prognosis for our patients, but perhaps even more importantly, we recognize that staging really forms our common cancer language. It's how we talk to each other about our patients. It permits standardized collection of data and defined groups for clinical trials. So the AJCC staging system has actually been in our language since the late 1970s, and the backbone has been the T, N, and M. And we've seen throughout the years that there have been non-anatomic factors added to the staging system. In 2003, serum markers for testy tumors were added. In 2010, the PSA was added for prostate cancer. And now in 2018, for breast cancer staging, we've seen the addition of molecular characteristics. So although the seventh edition worked quite well in stratifying patients with stage 1 and 3 to 3 disease by their outcomes, the seventh edition does not incorporate what we now routinely use in breast cancer treatment, and that is the molecular subtypes of breast cancer as first described by Teresa Sorley and Chuck Peru in 2001. And we know that these molecular subtypes have significant impact on survival, as demonstrated here. Patients with luminal A breast cancers in the blue line, these are highly ER positive and low grade. They have far superior outcomes to those patients in the red line, the basal-like or triple negative breast cancers. And so this has important clinical implications. If you have a 49-year-old patient in your clinic who undergoes a lumpectomy and a sentinel node biopsy, she's found to have a 2.7-centimeter tumor. Her nodes are negative, so she's a pathologic T2N0 patient, but she has a much different prognosis based on the molecular subtype. As demonstrated here, 5-year breast cancer-specific survival, if that patient is hormone receptor positive HER2 negative, it exceeds 95%, but if that patient is triple negative, it's down below 90% at 88%. So TNM has served us well over the years, but TNM now is not taking into account the biological factors that we know have prognostic and predictive value, and we know that our treatment recommendations today are based on response to therapy as dictated by these factors. So this is one of the tables from the new 8th edition of the staging system. You can see that we still have the backbone of the traditional T, N, and M factors, but now we've added these non-anatomic factors, including tumor grade, HER2, ER, and PR status, to come up with what we call a prognostic stage group for our patients. Now, how did we get here? Well, the development of the 8th edition was largely based on the analysis of two large data sets, one from MD Anderson and one from the NCDB. In both of these data sets, patients were staged according to TNM, and then clinical factors used in practice were added, and it was determined that the biomarkers improved stratification of disease-specific survival by stage in both cohorts, and this was largely consistent across the studies. So we now, again, have tables such as this, showing that for a group of T, N, and M, so all these patients have T1, N0 breast cancer, but depending on the grade, the HER2, the ER, and the PR status, patients with node-negative disease may be stage 1A, or patients with node-negative, triple-negative disease are actually stage 2A. So we can no longer count on all node-negative patients being stage 1. Now, we are routinely using genomic assays in breast cancer treatment these days, and so the expert panel, they determined it was also appropriate to incorporate multi-gene molecular profiling into the staging system, and at the time that they were putting these the guidelines together, there was level 1 evidence from Arm A of the Taylor X study, which demonstrated that among a large population of women with a recurrence score of less than 11, treated with hormonal therapy only, 5-year overall survival was exceedingly high at 98%. And so in our staging system now, if you have a patient with a T1, T2, N0, ER positive, HER2 negative breast cancer, if she has a recurrence score of less than 11, she is automatically prognostic stage group 1A. So many of you may be familiar with the fact that shortly after the staging system was published, there were two efforts to validate this new prognostic staging system. Again, efforts from MD Anderson and another effort looking at the California Cancer Registry. And what these groups identified was there were actually a significant number of patients who could not be staged simply because the combinations of the TNM grade, ERPR, and HER2 were not represented in the 6 pages of tables. Now, among those patients that could be staged, about 30% were actually upgraded. And again, when they looked at stratification of disease-specific survival, it was more accurate with these prognostic stage groups. But the committee had to go back to work, and they had to identify these additional combinations of T, N, and M. So two subsequent analyses were performed. Analysis 1 included over 330,000 women undergoing surgery first, and this group was, with any type of treatment first. This group was used to define the clinical prognostic stage. And a second analysis of just over 300,000 women undergoing surgery first, and this analysis was used to define the pathologic prognostic stage. Again, these stage groups provided better risk stratification, and the findings were largely consistent with the original models. So now in the AJCC 8th edition, we have two sets of staging tables. We have clinical prognostic stage tables. These are to be used for all patients before surgery or any treatment. And we have pathologic prognostic stage tables, and these are to be used after surgery and before adjuvant therapy. They are not applicable for patients who receive neoadjuvant therapy, and the committee is still working on this group. So when we apply these new staging tables to our patients, what we see is that over 35% of our patients with early stage breast cancer are either upstaged or downstaged according to the new staging system. So how do you explain this to your patients? What does this mean? Your patient comes in and says, I thought I was stage 2 and now I'm stage 3. Well, their disease did not change, but our staging system now better reflects the prognosis of their disease, taking into account both the anatomic extent of their disease and the biology. Now, of course, this is quite a complicated system, so there are several apps available that you can download to your smartphone to use to calculate your patient's clinical prognostic stage and pathologic prognostic stage. We use the red one there in our clinic, and it works quite well. So this is truly paradigm-changing for the breast cancer world, a validation that biology likely does trump anatomy. And as we move forward, I think we'll see further incorporation of multi-gene assays into our staging, potentially other markers. Further revisions will likely be necessary as more effective systemic therapy is utilized. And there will be no more hard copy printed book of the staging manual, so all updates will be online only, and this will likely allow for more fluid updates to our system. So in conclusion, the 8th edition recognizes biomarkers and multi-gene panels. This provides refined risk discrimination for staging. It is more complex, and so I encourage you to download the app, and this has been in effect since January of 18. But T, N, and M remains the backbone for those countries without these routine pathologic services. And patients with ER-positive, HER2-negative, T1 to T2 N0 breast cancer, if they have an oncotype score of less than 11, they have an excellent prognosis. They are pathologic prognostic stage 1A and can safely avoid chemotherapy. Thank you.